Good morning, everybody. So before we get started today, I'm going to invite you to open up sacred space with me. You are welcome to stand up, face the directions with me, or if you feel called to, you may just sit down, place your hand on your heart, whatever you would like. You're going to start facing this wall over here. This is going to be the south. Aho, winds of the south, serpent, Satchamama. Wrap your coils of light around us. Teach us to shed the past the way you shed your skin. To walk softly on the earth, teaching us the beauty way. Aho. I'm going to face the back of the room now. Aho, winds of the west, mother jaguar. Protect our medicine space. Teach us the way of peace to live impeccably. Show us the way beyond death, stepping into our power, our fearlessness, and our bravery. Aho. Aho, winds of the north, grandmothers, grandfathers, ancient ones, come and warm your hands by our fires. Whisper to us in the wind, we honor you, and who have come before us, and who will come after us, our children's children. Aho. Aho, winds of the east, great eagle, condor, come to us from a place of the rising sun. Teach us to fly wing to wing with great spirit and show us the mountains we only dare to dream of. You may be seated. The next two directions, we have Mother Earth and then up above. Aho, Pachamama, Mother Earth, sweet, sweet feminine Mother Gaia. We've gathered for the healing of all your children, the stone people, the plant people, the four-legged, the two-legged, the creepy crawlers, the fin, the furred, all our relations. Ho, Father Sun, Auntie Taiti, Grandfather Moon, Divine Masculine, who you are known by a thousand names and who you are the innameable one. Thank you for bringing us together and allowing us to sing the song of life. And I'd like to invite you all now to place your hands at prayer at your heart. Take a few deep breaths. We're going to bring them up to the top to where our crown would be, our life force. And we're going to draw a nice bubble right around all of ourselves, welcoming in that nice energy, filling in any gaps. And if you would like, share it with a neighbor. I'm going to share mine with all of you in this room. So what that is called your Wiracocha. It's technically your personal energy bubble. In shamanism, it's a way to give blessings to people as well. So throughout my day, I will just visually look at people maybe and see myself filling them with this beautiful golden light. And it's your own bubble in a sense. So thank you for opening up sacred space with me. A little bit of a background, a little bit of an intro. The number one question I get is, how did you end up here? Truthfully, I ask myself that sometimes too, but what human would not? So I am a shamanic practitioner in the Karo Incan lineage. I'm an Usui Reiki master, a woman's embodiment mentor. As they said earlier, my passion and purpose in this lifetime is to truly help other people. That's where I found the most fulfillment, even from an early age. I truly just want to help. And bridging that with spirituality, shamanism, it kind of makes sense. So, a bit about my story. Growing up, I was extremely blessed in numerous ways. My grandfather was the most hardworking man I knew. My grandmother was the most nurturing. My mother and father were always the cool parents. Our house was a party house. It was really fun. And my older brother was, well, my older brother. And lastly, my uncle was the best ice cream date I had in town. On the outside, we were beautiful. But on the inside, not so much. I now have the awareness that I faced many years of childhood trauma and emotional neglect. And it is not to put a burden on anyone in my family. Everything happens for a reason. Throughout my early years, I recall myself feeling separate from my own physical self. as if my mind was separate from my body. I kind of felt off, and seemingly everyone around that age kind of starts to feel that way as well. As time went on, I became an observer of my life and my family around me. My family has a really, really mean gene. It's a gene of depression, anxiety, addictions of many forms, and overall well-being. At age 13, I lost my uncle. At age 14, I lost my grandmother. And at age 15, I lost my own father to one of these genes. I then, too, chose to live with this gene. I spent the following years battling my own depression, multiple eating disorders, and in many ways, a battle of truly surviving. I was very unconscious at this time. I was unconscious of myself and life itself and life around me. Yet, I always wanted to be better. I know that's kind of hard to understand, but I always wanted to be better. I developed a very strong passion for fitness, self-improvement, and I always kept my little interests hidden, which included things like crystals, astrology, and all of the woo-hoo things we see in the media. Over time, I landed a job as a personal trainer, and this is when my spiritual awakening began to happen. The self-improvement journey was great, but imagine being on a self-improvement journey and realizing that it was all wrong. You were doing it the wrong way. You were seeking for answers outside of yourself when simply everything you needed was already inside of you. I met my current shamanic teacher after stalking her on Instagram and following her around the gym. She has now also become my best friend, and her name is Lauren Thu. I began transforming what has been done in my self-improvement journey into the most profound healing journey I've ever experienced. Now that you know a bit about my story, in a year from now, I'll be writing a new one. Everything is just a story. And now that you have had a chance to hear it, let's get into shamanism. So, my shamanic journey started with the Munichi. Is anyone in here familiar with what the Munichi is? Have you ever heard of it? Nope? Okay. So the Munichi means universal love in action. That is the name of it. It's an initiatory practice of the shamans of the Andes and the Amazon. The Munichi is made up of 9 rites of initiation to become a person of wisdom and power. The word shaman translates to one who knows. He or she simply knows. These are 9 energetic transmissions that heal the wounds of the past, genetic and karmic inheritance that we are born with. These 9 transmissions and attunements are given to you from a shaman. They are woven into your energetic body and placed into all 7 of your chakras. In order to become a Karo shaman, you must complete the Munichi. However, the Munichi 9 rites have profound abilities to transform, empower, nurture, and heal one's life, not only now, but 7 years back and 7 years forward. Many people complete the Munichi for themselves, their loved ones, their family, and do not step into the path of becoming a shaman. It is available to anyone who wants to complete and embody the wisdom of the Munichi, because you cannot simply step into the Munichi and not embody it. You are transforming, healing, and walking with very sacred sites, very sacred people, and lineages. So we're going to break down some of the rites. The first rites are the foundation rites. So the first one you get is a band of power. These are 5 luminous belts of power, protection, and nourishment that are woven into the luminous energy field. They act as filters, breaking down any negative energy that comes to the person into one of the 5 elements. The next one that you receive is going to be your healer's rite, or translated to the Humpke rites. These will connect you to the lineage of luminous beings from the past, which come and assist you in your personal transformation. They bring spiritual assistance and awaken the healing power in your hands. So I know Janine's right over there. She's also a Reiki teacher, and there's a few Reiki people in here. You know that feeling in your hands when you're giving Reiki or when someone around you needs group Reiki. Imagine this times 10. They awaken your hands to not only give healing energy, but to perceive and transmute things. So it opens up your clairs greatly. You can touch things and simply know information. Many people will be like, how did you know that? I shook your hand. How did you know that? I picked up the cup after you. This is a very high responsibility, because just because you know something doesn't mean you say anything. The path of the shaman, and when you are in the Munichi, you want to create harmony wherever you go and not create more disharmony. The next one is going to be the harmony rite. This one is Einai Karpai. These are going to be transmissions of the seven archetypes into each of your chakras. So there are seven archetypes within the shamanic principles. Each one gets put into one of your chakras. You receive serpent, jaguar, hummingbird, and condor and eagle. And then you receive the keepers of lower, middle, and upper world. So that will be Huascar, Quetzalcoatl, and Pachatuli. These keepers and archetypes get placed into your chakras, and it is up to you to create a relationship with them. They are here to help you. They are here to teach you, give you medicine, wisdom, and guidance. The next one is my favorite rite. This is the seer's rite. This is an installation of an additional cerebral pathway of light. This connects your visual cortex with the third eye in the heart chakra. This awakens the inner seer and your ability to perceive the normally invisible world of energy and spirit. This one was my favorite. I'll give you a little background. I got this right while I was still working in the gym. And you know, as an empath, a gym, there's lots and lots of energy. There's lots and lots of things. So this one was a journey for me to navigate. But truly, it has transformed my relationship with my past, my relationship with my present, and it will with my future. But when you're able to see and feel those who may have passed, you kind of understand why they had to pass. You can develop a relationship with those who are around and wanting to help you, to help Earth in a whole different way. And there will be people in your life that also need your help, and they will send helpers to communicate with you to help them. And I think that's truly beautiful. The next ones, we have the lineage rites, daykeeper rites. These are Papa Maseoks. So this is all the master healers from the past. You now have a relationship to build with them as well. This rite also deeply helps you heal your inner feminine energies. In order to work with the earth, you need to have a good relationship with your feminine energies. That includes your relationship with your mom and your dad as well. So, as you see, the inner child is heavily connected into all of the healing journeys. The next one is going to be the Wisdom Keeper's Rites, the Alta Maseoks. These ones connect you to a lineage of luminous beings from the past and the future, asking them to encode their wisdom and knowledge to heal your inner masculine. So now we're working with our masculine energies with the Wisdom Keepers. The Wisdom Keepers also allow you to step outside of time. You become steeped in the medicine and teachings and learn what it feels like to taste infinity. The next one is going to be the Earth Keeper's Rite. This rite connects you to the higher beings that are protectors of our galaxies and our solar system. You embody the energy of the high masters, and you learn the way of great seers. This one was probably my second favorite, the Star Keeper's Rite. This rite anchors you safely into the time after the Great Change. This Great Change was said to occur around 2012. Your physical body now has the ability to evolve into a homoluminous, Your DNA has transformed its strands, and the aging process is slowed down. You become more resistant to disease and decay. Starkeeper's Rite also gives you two star allies that you begin to work with up in the sky. So you have your own personal two stars to call on for guidance, assistance, especially with manifestation. And then the very final rite is the Creator's Rite. This one awakens the creator within. Stewardship for all of your creation, you realize you are part of the creative principle. This rite used to only be received from spirit. It is now given from shaman to student. There are a few rites to come, one of them being the rite of the womb. The rite of the womb is for both men and women, and it is essentially to heal the womb. The womb we all have either came from or carry or both. The womb can carry past traumas, fears, beliefs, both in this lifetime, past lives, and our mother's lifetime. When you receive the rite of the womb for 12 moon cycles, which is 12 menstruation cycles, you give your blood back to the earth in order to release what it is that you are carrying. And it is said that as you give it back to Mother Earth, she will give you what you need. That's a bit about the nine rites. The nine rites are available, again, to anyone who wishes to step into and embody this wisdom. During the Munichi, I was in my second class, and the winds started to pick up. It was inevitable that I was going to become a shaman. There's no way around it. Anything I tried to do to walk away from it, it wouldn't let me. Not only that, I felt immediately drawn to it, as if I was home for the first time in my life. I stepped into apprenticeship during this time. What is shamanism? Since the dawn of time, the call of the unseen universal spirit has taken a hold in many hearts. Shamanism is deeply rooted in the unseen, navigating both the natural, supernatural forces on the planet, the cosmos, altering states of consciousness, as well as, most importantly, being grounded in this physical reality. It is based on knowledge that you are part of something much, much bigger than your small five human senses. You are constantly engaging with a universal field of energy that you can access and tap into for information, guidance, healing, and personal power. Connecting with the invisible world is a part of many cultures, ethnicities, and languages. Shamanism has shifted and changed over time to serve the needs of the community. Being a shaman requires great community responsibility. You don't become a shaman and stay inside all day. You become a shaman and you put your face into the community. You have to serve your purpose as a shaman. You are given many things, many gifts, in order to help others. It is considered one of the oldest healing modalities on Earth, and it seeks to connect us to the very source of our own creation. This can include being a mystic healer, a doctor, a priestess or high priestess, a psychotherapist, counselor, storyteller, keeper of ancient wisdom. It is a fabric piece of humanity stretching across continents and is still relevant to our society today. Although for years many religious backgrounds, government officials have tried to dismiss the use of shamanism, there is a spark of shamanism that resides in every single person on this planet. The practice can be traced as far back as humankind itself. Shamanism has existed for as long as we have existed. Shamanism started among the hunter-gatherer societies during the Paleolithic era. There is evidence of early humans creating drawings in caves, remains of horse bones for rituals. The ancients believed that all animate and inanimate objects were alive, with their own individual spirit and consciousness. These core ideas are fundamental to practicing shamanism today. We believe that we are all connected. We are all one, not only to the human species, but to everything in this reality. Shamanism holds everything in the universe like a fine web or a fine tapestry. Any feeling of separation is merely an illusion. This allows you to live with a truly open heart, to know that you are connected to everything that is sacred. Shamanism recognizes that you are spirit and inhabiting a physical body. You are here to learn, grow, and expand. This is an earth school. You have experienced many realities, dimensions, and lifetimes, each providing you with what your soul needs for its growth and evolution. Most of humanity has been born into forgetting this. Shamanism will guide you to heal the wounds and the traumas of the past, to remember the gifts and true nature of who you are. Shamanism brings you home. Shamanism is not a religious practice. It has no rules. It has traditions. It has no right or wrong, only what your spirit labels it to be, right or wrong. It has a way of life. It is a way of life and is accessible to everyone, regardless of race, economic status, or culture. Like I said, there are no rules to follow, no texts to be memorized, and no deity to be worshipped. Shamanism is grounded in practical, personal experience. Deeply rooted in the natural world, centered on direct revelation. Shamans are not put on display to perform rituals while the rest of humanity passively watches. We are always seeking to discover and learn about ourselves. The practice of shamanism allows you to access your true inner nature, what is true and right for you, and with that connection, you find your own personal power. The power in shamanic sense is the energy or skill you have to direct universal energies toward a higher good. Personal power is very sacred. Power is very sacred. Power requires a lot of responsibility. It is not about manipulation or control. It is the deepest part of yourself that possesses no attachments, no titles, and no outward achievements to prove status. In shamanism, you simply almost become nothing. Shamanism focuses on the duality of life, the yin and the yang, the dark and the light. Without darkness, we would have no light. Shamanism does not fear the darkness inside of others because they have learned to face their own. They become face to face with their shadow in all aspects in order to help others identify theirs. Shaman does not fear death because they've already died. They have seen and felt their death before it has already manifested into this reality. Shamans are wounded healers to assist in awakening you to your own innate healing. Now let's get into what it's like living in the directions. The first direction is going to be the south, the winds of the south. The archetype here, we have the serpent. And her name is Sachimama. The serpent represents many things. If you look around, you see it in the staff of medicine. It's also the symbol for the Kundalini. Serpent teaches us to shed our layers like a serpent would shed its skin. You cannot walk around this earth with everything that happened to you because you're trying to carry too much constantly. You must constantly shed and evolve the way a serpent sheds its skin. And if you don't, you become engulfed in these layers and these layers and these layers, and it becomes itchy and painful and almost unbearable to live. Not only does she teach us to shed our skin, our past, our wounds, she allows us to release what is no longer serving us. And sometimes that means people, places, things, beliefs, locations, you name it, she will help you release it. However, she also teaches you to walk belly to belly with Mother Earth and walk the beauty way. Serpent represents knowledge, sexuality, and healing. Serpents are the most universal archetype in the world. They've always represented the healing power of nature. Living in serpent energy is especially helpful for people getting through immediate crisis. Our reptilian brain is in charge here. Your emotions are silenced. Working from the survival instincts, we simply do what has to be done without wasting valuable energy thinking about it, analyzing it, or emotionally distraught about it. Living in the South was quite the experience because I love emotions and they were turned off. When we see problems exclusively through the eyes of serpent, we try to come up with physical solutions. It is quick thinking, immediate. When you are in crisis mode, you may call upon serpent to get your answers, to get your clarity, to know what needs to be done next. We want to trade jobs, change jobs, trade in a car, find a new partner, or if we feel a headache coming on, we may label it a migraine and reach for some medication. Sometimes these solutions work, but are often too simplistic. For example, we feel a headache coming on, so our mind will label it a migraine. But do we actually have a migraine, or are we telling ourselves we have a migraine? Serpent will teach you how to distinct between the two. With the instincts of serpent, we avoid trauma and drama without knowing why. Example, we're driving down the road and we sense a police officer with a radar gun is up the road, so we take our foot off the gas pedal and slow down. When you're living in serpent, you begin to know things. By perceiving through serpent, it is fundamental to operate in our physical form. You must be very rooted in this reality during your time working with serpent. It enables us to take our perception up a notch. In order to change our world, we need to change the way we perceive ourselves. By changing our level of perception, we transform challenges into opportunities. Living in serpent teaches you how to thrive in chaos. The four insights of the South include non-attachment, non-judgment, non-suffering, and walking the beauty way. One of the ceremonies you learn and perform is a death arrow ceremony. A death arrow ceremony is where you gather materials to hold a sacred fire: wood, stakes, fire, olive oil, paper. However, on a separate piece of paper, you sit down and write down anything that has ever triggered you, hurt you, happened to you, that caused you disharmony. From as early as you can remember until the point that you are sitting and writing that paper. Anytime someone ever called you a name, or maybe in kindergarten, you fell off the swing and it has not left you, it gets written on the paper. Once you then take a stick for everything you have written down and blow it into the stick. You may have 100 sticks with 100 things that have happened. You build that fire and you must sit with the fire until it is completely ash. By the end of living in the South, you can physically feel yourself leaving whatever state skin suit you had been in prior. It is as if you are inside of a new body and a new human being. Leaving the South, transitioning into the West, the winds are then closed, and you enter what it feels like to have timeless, or what I would say, what it feels like to be not. Before you step into the winds, it's hard to explain what it's like to someone that is not in them. It's like time has almost stopped. You get a moment of stillness. You get a moment of a breath of air when the winds of the South are closed. And then just when you think that you get to go back to the way things were, we open up the winds of the West. Moving into the West is the definition of lucky girl syndrome, if you know what that is. In the West, growth is in the darkness, and this is where a lot of shadow work is done. The West is a time for being a hermit or isolation for many people. You must be okay with what comes out of your shadow as a shaman. You must become fearless. There is nothing in this reality that you can fear. This doesn't happen magically. Jaguar teaches us that all energies are benign. It only matters how the energy is in balance to whatever is already there. We must be notorious for working with all energies and not just shadows. We do whatever needs to be done to bring harmony in the West. The archetype is a jaguar, and her name is Otorongo. The level of jaguar is not about being triggered or being a part of any sort of drama. You make peace in the West with everyone, everything, and anywhere. It's about letting go of karma and any heavy energy you brought into this lifetime or you have created in this lifetime. Jaguar allows us to feel our emotions again. They were turned off for a while, and now they are back on full force. You begin to walk into the change of what has been released and revealed in the South. You begin to become a tracker. You are the master of discernment, your own power and your strength. You track deception, emotions, patterns, traits, you name it. You are a walking physical jaguar. Of course, only for what is highest and best of all involved. If you're feeling emotions and you want to be in harmony, you cannot be too emotional or emotionless. Jaguar teaches us how to become in balance with our emotions. She teaches you to question everything. The Munichi Daykeeper's Rite is heavily linked to the West. This is where we become watchers of the ancient cycles, following astrology, nature, and of course, everything in our life. If we wake up feeling off, we begin to track why do we wake up feeling off. If every day at exactly 12:30, we begin to feel tired, why do we feel tired? If someone only calls you when they need something, why do they only call us when they need something? Jaguar teaches you to track everything. It's about protection of self and of course others. Here, moving forward, you begin to learn great strength and power. You begin to know the trail in the woods so you can walk through anything almost blindfolded. Jaguar has us ask ourselves, what is the best tool to end this issue quickly if it is causing discomfort for myself and others? How can I step out of being triggered? What do I want to do with this now? How can I move forward in a way that is aligned with my highest and best? Universal truth and karma is unfinished business or contract that you wrote before coming into this life. Karma is not a bad thing. It is something that needs to be done. It is debt that is owed. We create karma through fear and guilt. If you think you're doing something wrong, you're creating karma. We choose to have an experience here that is no right or wrong. We place judgment and labels on ourselves. We're going to go over to the north. This archetype is the hummingbird. We have her name is Hunakari. The winds of the north are about finding sweetness, the beauty, and the why to why things may have happened the way they did. The north is about choosing you in every single aspect. You have been through the south and the west, so any lingering situation or fears will be forefront, but they will not be in the way that you think they will be. Hummingbird is sweet. She's playful, and she isn't going to just show you or give you an answer. She's going to send you and torment you through the mythic level of your soul. Maybe that's a song, a poster, little hints or clues finding and navigating the lessons or timeline that was or is present in this time. The North represents moments of serious contemplation about the lessons we've learned to truly integrate. We become shining lights, beaming with spirituality and well-being. North also represents the in-between times of our afterlife in the astral realm, where you have been busy in the nonstop other directions. This is a place to stop, be quiet, and listen to the divine's voice. The North allows you to communicate and operate on the level of the soul. It is a very mythical time. In the North, you do a lot of work on your soul and other people's souls, including releasing roles, the momentum tunnel, destiny retrievals, four chamber soul retrievals, and many other soul level works. Lastly, the East. The archetype is Eagle, and the name is Condor. During this time in the East, you are one with spirit. You walk hand in hand with God, Source, Universe, or Creator, and you are in the last and final direction. In the East, it is about believing in everything you have ever dreamed of. You are God. We are all God. We all have God within. Showing yourself the highest mountains and reaching and soaring for all that is possible. This is a profound time for levels in spiritual advancement, new beginnings, and moving to higher levels of awareness and spiritual wisdom. Not only in the East do you walk with God and embody what it means to be God, but you help others do the same. Now, shamanic teachings are focusing on uncovering the shadow. We are all infinite beings, yet most of us go through life with no idea, real idea, who we are, why we came to this planet, and live from our shadow. Shamanism teaches us to uncover our shadow and walk with our shadow. I'm speeding up a little bit because I looked at the time, and we're going to get into the shadow aspect right now. So I would like you all to close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Release them through the mouth. Empty any worries, any thoughts. I'm going to ask a question shortly. And I don't want you to overthink it. I want you to let whatever floats to the forefront of your mind come there, stay there. And then I will let you open your eyes. Breathing deeply into yourself, the question is, what do you need to hear right now? Allowing whatever may come to the forefront of your mind first, with no judgment. Gently opening your eyes. And if I have a volunteer that would please come up forward. And if I don't have a volunteer, I'll choose someone. So you heard that you need to give forgiveness.
Right.
Okay. In order to give forgiveness, what do you think you need to do?
Since the person has passed, probably to just forgive in my heart.
Okay. Yours didn't work. Go sit down. Come up. What's your name? Suzanne, nice to meet you. I'm Madison. So what was the first thing that came to your head when the question is, what do you need to hear right now?
To find inner peace.
To find inner peace. You have inner peace. Why don't you believe me?
Because I've been so angry and mean and a lot going on.
You think that. But you have inner peace. You just have to believe that you have inner peace, and inner peace will come to you. If you give me just one moment, I'm going to give you a brief shamanic clearing, okay? So, a live shamanic clearing, essentially sound activates energy. We're coming up here, we're opening up her energetic field that I had you all place at the beginning of this speech. We're gonna open it up. We're holding a lot of anger. So what I did is essentially we can see emotions in the form of other things. Sometimes they can feel it being removed, sometimes they can't. But essentially, that's how you do a brief shamanic clearing. It goes a little bit longer when you're in a session sort of thing, but we can see and perceive the energy. So I hope that you find your inner peace. You're welcome. Is there anyone else that wants to come up and briefly share what they need in this moment? No? Okay. Just know that whatever it is that you needed to hear in this moment, your shadow is stopping you from receiving it. Right now, in this moment, I need to be told that I'm doing a good job. But I'm going to walk out this door and be like, I didn't do a good job. It's my shadow telling me that I didn't do a good job. But I know I did a good job because I made it up here. That's just an example. Anyways, I hope that you take some of these archetypes, breathe them into your day-to-day life. They're there for you to use them. You don't need to walk a path or anything like that to call in an archetype. They're here to help you. They're here to help everyone. And because I know all of this information, I will be the first one to tell you that I know nothing. I will go ahead and leave space open for you all and close it for you when I go to bed tonight. I hope that you have a great day filled with miracles, love, blessings, and all that you wish it to be. Thank you for letting me speak.